Close your eyes. Your eyes can deceive you. We must not trust them. Tell me what comes into your mind.
Life. Balance.
I see fire.
Someone is killing Jedi. It doesn't make sense.
What happened?
I sensed darkness.
This isn't about good or bad. This is about power, and who is allowed to use it.
What is that?
Listening to Fanthatrax.
Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Star Wars news in a single file. This is Making Tracks. Here are your hosts, Mark Newbold and Mark Lowcaster.
That's not true. That's impossible.
Hello, it's Tuesday. The new Acolyte official trailer has dropped. We figured, rather than doing a standard episode of Making Tracks, we'd do a little impromptu reaction chat. So let's get into it. Let's talk about what we saw on the Acolyte official trailer. An investigation into a shocking crime spree pits a respected Jedi Master against a dangerous warrior from his past. As more clues emerge, they travel down a dark path where sinister forces reveal all is not what it seems. Discuss the trailer with me this week, as every single week whenever we do a reaction chat. Of course, it's Mr. Mark Newbold. How are you? And what's your initial thoughts on this Acolyte trailer?
First off, I'm very well, thank you very much. And secondly, I'm even better because we've just seen some proper new Star Wars stuff. Very excited to see this. Fresh and new, a new era. You know, it's got its own kind of vibe. I know we'll get into what we've seen in the trailer at the moment, which, of course, will be completely all over the eight episodes. It won't be any order. They want to give us a nice tease of what we're going to get. But nevertheless, the look of it looks really on point to me, to these old eyes anyway. I was really thrilled, and I'm looking forward as the day develops to see what the reaction is. So first impressions, very, very good.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, it's actually quite, I think, prescient that the fact that this is a 25th anniversary of Phantom Menace this year, and we're getting a series, the first real Disney Plus streaming series, which is really heavily focusing on Jedi in their prime. And in fact, it's so in the prime, it's even before the prequels. Overall, I think the summation that I kind of read out at the beginning kind of sums it up. It is a bit of a teaser, but it kind of gives enough of a tone and a vibe for us, you know roughly where we're headed. So it's going to be quite interesting. And I think just based on that alone, it fills me very much with the prequels vibes. I'm thinking, you know, the investigation that Obi-Wan does on Attack of the Clones with the King Minoans. Probably got that kind of slight vibe in that. And so it's going to be something that probably, like we've seen with Andor, be a bit more of a slow build, which Star Wars tends to do really, really well. And I think for me anyway, what was nice yesterday was when the announcement for this trailer dropped with that teaser poster as well, there was a really nice positive buzz. And I don't necessarily think that we got that for the last couple of shows that have been released with Disney Plus. So it's nice that this has actually got some positivity and momentum before it's even released.
It does feel that way, that people seem, to me anyway at the moment, quite receptive, because it's a new era, because it's not stepping on toes particularly. I mean, of course, if you're a High Republic fan, then it's the most anticipated, because you've got Young Jedi Adventures, which is great, but it's a kid's show and it dips into little elements that we've seen in the phases so far. But this is the High Republic era, and it's, as we're told, at the end of that era. So there's definitely an interest in that, to see where that's going to go. As a demographic of Star Wars fandom, the High Republic fandom, if you want to call it, is obviously quite small, because the books, in by comparison to the amount of people who watch, let's say, an episode of Book of Boba Fett, as by, you know, the latest High Republic book, is fractional. But nevertheless, it's all part of the greater story. And so to most eyes looking at this trailer, this all feels fresh and new. And as you say, 25th anniversary of Phantom Menace, it's kind of got that feel about it. You know, we open in the Jedi Temple, we see younglings being trained. It's got that prequel feel. So those two things very much go together in that sense, which is great. But yeah, I'm sensing more optimism, more a feel of people want to get on board with this and get into it. I'm pleased by that. I think that's a good thing to see.
Yeah, me too. It is really nice that it starts off with younglings being led by, I guess, Jedi Master Sol. Interesting, actually, because the one thing that immediately sprung to my mind when I saw that was Jedi training on Acto in The Last Jedi with Luke and Rey. Just her kind of sitting on the rock, kind of reaching out, talking about what she can feel. You've got the different kids saying what they, you know, what they're feeling. And there's obviously the troublemaker in the class who says that she can, like, feels it. Was it burning or fire or something? Memory serves correctly. This is kind of part of the tone that I'm kind of getting from this and from the text. And was it, you know, in an age of light, a darkness rises, which again feels very on brand with Star Wars. You know, we had a very similar kind of subtext and headings around The Force Awakens. It feels familiar but new, and I really like that. It means that it should give us some really interesting visuals and some really interesting story elements.
Do you think that's important, that we have a fresh feel and a fresh look? Yeah. Whilst the template of Star Wars is definitely in place, you need these little wrinkles, don't you, to make this quite clearly this is its own thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it. You've got this new series in a slightly different time period, and you'd think by now, again, through the last 10, 15 years, that the average viewer of pop culture is going to be a lot more kind of familiar with Jedi and the mise en scene, shall we say, of this prequel era. I think it allows you to kind of experiment a little bit and change the tone and kind of go, right, okay, if we go down this, let's call it criminal investigative thriller tone, where could that lead us? And actually, what does that mean to the franchise and what different avenues it could open up? And there's enough in here to you know, it's lightsabers for one, so everybody loves a lightsaber. There's lots of shadow and there's lots of new faces that we've yet to meet and really know names of. But you get the tone of what's going on, like, you know, the Jedi being murdered or being killed. There's clearly one dark side assassin by the looks of things anyway. It seems to be the main kind of like antagonist. They've clearly focusing a lot also on Carrie Ann Moss's Jedi character.
Seemed quite clear that you hear her name, you think The Matrix, of course, you can't not.
Yes.
And when you watch her in that bar scene at the beginning when she's going against that other character, who's going at her with a knife, just the way she moves. I mean, it just feels like it's got that Trinity feel about it. Whether that's a purposeful thing or whether it's just how Carrie Ann moves, that's a connection I'm not against putting together. It's a little dialogue, it's a little language. It's almost like a shorthand. We know she can go. She was in a Matrix film a couple of years ago, so we know she's got that in there. And she has a serenity about her and a stillness and a seriousness. So for that character to be able to show that in the episode and see that in the trailer, character's called Indara. So when you see that, I'm all in for that. And also there's that cool link between Phantom Menace came out 25 years ago. We're celebrating the anniversary of that. So did The Matrix. So there's kind of a nice little link there as well.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
So it looks like we're talking about Amanda Stenberg, but it kind of looks like, yeah, she is the main antagonist for this series. I think actually at the time, I think we were leading down the path that maybe she was going to be the main protagonist and she was going to be like on the light side. But it looks, at least on first impressions from this teaser, that she's not.
Yeah, if you go with first impressions, then that's definitely exactly how you would pick it, which is all we can take right now. I like the way they've played that out, even in the trailer. And this has been said before, there's definitely Far Eastern vibe to the design and a feel. Some of the casting as well plays into that very well. Again, it's shorthand, it's cinematic shorthand, even though this is a TV show, it's essentially cinematic shorthand, just to get the feel and the vibe and the tone and the intent across to a viewer. So that's been well picked and well chosen by everybody involved. So that's definitely setting a scene. And also, we will get more teasers and more trailers and clips and such before the premiere, which is only, good grief, 77 days away as we speak. So we're going to see more. We're going to have more of a feel for the galaxy. And that's what I'm interested in. We don't know the names of the planets yet. We don't know quite where we are, apart from obviously Coruscant. Either places we've been to before that we're going to see in that planet's past, or we're going to go to completely new places, hopefully a bit of both. But I just want to kind of get a feel for what the galaxy's like, because they've very much sold it, that this is a golden age of the Jedi. It's only a century, probably not even that, before Phantom Menace, which is still at a pretty decent place if you're in the interior. On the Outer Rim, not so much, as Shmi says. But I'm just really interested to see how they lay out the galaxy. And this show, I think that will feel not central to it, because the plot, obviously, what's happening, this Dark Forces, and we get to it, you know, you see a red-bladed lightsaber, who owns that?
Yeah.
So there's a lot to come, but I hope they give us a good sense of what the galaxy is looking like at this point.
At least judging by this trailer, we're not going to be short for Jedi. There's tons of them all over the place. Nice to see also, right, I think the last shot, really, yellow, blue, and green blades. Yellow blades weren't really a thing up until Rise of Skywalker, but now they're everywhere. Nice to have another color variation. So, and we never know. We might even see like a purple blade. I think just generally overall, it's whetting our appetites. And obviously, we were really starved of any promotion for Ahsoka last year because of the writer's strike. So I think we're probably going to be the opposite this year. And I think they're going to hit us over the head and really kind of push us really hard, which I don't necessarily think is going to be a bad thing. If Star Wars needs something that is going to be picked up and received in a similar way to, hopefully, like The Mandalorian was when that first came out, that universal praise from everyone. That's what we need at the moment.
You mentioned The Mandalorian. Mandalorian, if you're a Fett fan, if you're a Mando fan, and then that show comes out, then off and away to the races, because you've got a show that's steeped in that culture. And now, not since the prequels, or really the Clone Wars, but that's animated. Not to dismiss it, but that's animated. This is live action. We've not had live-action Jedi going at it to this level, to what they're hinting at in the Acolyte trailer, since then. So that will service another demographic of the Star Wars fandom. That feels like a smart thing, because you've certainly, if you're an Imperial fan, you've had your fill. If you're a Mando fan, you've had your fill. Factions of the Star Wars fandom that are getting what they want from either movies. If you're a smuggler fan, you're getting it from Solo. And here you're getting Jedi at their pomp, at their peak. That's a smart thing as well.
It's Star Wars for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're light side, dark side, or somewhere in between. You know, there's hopefully going to be some new series for you to get your teeth into, and new characters to champion. More importantly, at least for me anyway, new costumes to build.
Yes, I did think that.
Hi, this is Dorian Kinji, and you're listening to Fantha Tracks.
So going through the trailer, you see the Jedi Temple, you see the younglings, very reminiscent of especially Attack of the Clones. But if you've seen or read either any of the Horror Republic comics or seen any of the artwork that goes with the books, it's completely Horror Republic in its look and its aesthetic. It's got that grandiose feel. It's got the frills and the gold lining. And that, isn't it? There's an element of opulence about this. Even the view out of the window, and I'm making the assumption that's a Jedi temple or a Jedi training room we've seen before. It may not be the one that we saw in the prequels, so that's completely an assumption. But even the view out of the window doesn't quite look like we would remember from the prequels, for example. I'm sure if we drilled into it, there's probably buildings we're looking at in that trailer that we have seen before. and it's just the mega city has grown around it. But just some of the design choices, you see briefly another planet populated with loads of people, loads of characters, very colourful, very bustling and such. And there's an archway that looks like your classic Macquarie archway, but slightly done in a different style. You've seen one on Tatooine. I've recently rewatched Book of Boba. Yeah. Of course, Jakku. So that felt like a nice nod. They're being clever. They're showing us a lot, but they're not giving a lot away. Design-wise, I'm just wondering where we go. Is it going to feel like the Macquarie influences, or is it going to feel like completely different, completely fresh? Because to be honest, at this point of Star Wars, given that we've got a lot ahead of us, we can't be too precious. We still need the touchstones, but we've still got to kind of feel fresh and feel new. And so far, this feels very fresh and new.
No, I think you're right. We're probably going to be walking that tightrope between. It's still got to feel like a lived-in universe. There's definitely shots where it does. But kind of think that if it's, you know, we're talking the High Republic, and how much do they, if they even overtly refer to it as that, shall we say, in this period on screen, I mean. It's that whole thing, isn't it, of like one of the initial criticisms by some people about Phantom Menace was it felt way too clean and pristine. But you kind of would expect that from this as well. What would be quite nice is to see a little bit of design evolution over this 100 years, even if it's just down to like data pads and stuff like that, which are a little bit more clunky and look just, you know, a little bit more early.
Analog or, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In some kind of design so that, again, it feels like there's somewhere to go. And this is the thing with Star Wars. It feels like it's an evolved galaxy and nothing changes as such. There's no new models of stuff. It's just like, yeah, it's just the same things reused, which is cool because it keeps like continuity of the design. But, you know, it's that thing. You just want a little bit, a couple of things to kind of go, oh, yeah, that will end up looking a little bit more like that. Then at the same time, it, like you said, it all depends. You know, if we're on the outer rim in, you know, for much of this, then you don't expect that to be too civilized. And it doesn't particularly look at it. You know, it's dark and moody. There's definitely that one shuttle that we just see that is looks very interesting, which, I mean, we only see the back of it. But again, it's just, yeah, it feels like Star Wars, but it doesn't necessarily feel like anything we've seen before. If you can design a show that does that, then I think you're kind of winning. It feels a much more populated galaxy, yes, than what we've seen before. Like a lot of these kind of wides and stuff and seems to have lots of people in, like, you know, the cantina's got lots of people in it.
When we look at the galaxy, when we look at Coruscant, I always find I'm fascinated to go to Coruscant. One of my favourite episodes of Mandalorian Season 3 was that one when you just took a little side quest and went to Coruscant with Dr. Pershing and just did that episode where you didn't really see a lot of what was going on outside of that. But I found that fascinating because I love to explore that as a location. And you'd seen it in Andor. Of course, a lot of Andor's set in and around there. By the same token, Coruscant, I would imagine, for the most part, is fairly static. A city planet wouldn't develop overnight. It would take a long time to develop. It would take a long time to grow and nurture. So when you get to, and we see some planets in this, we don't know where they are. And the assumption is always that anything that doesn't look fresh and pristine and new must be further and further and further out. Jakku's closer to the center of the galaxy than a lot of places that are fairly opulent in the midrim. It's just how the galaxy's set out. It doesn't always follow. There are some pretty rough places that are closer to Coruscant than you think. So it's an easy assumption to make, but I think you're going to find more interesting diversity. And I don't mean diversity in the 2024 sense. I mean diversity within the Star Wars world of different vehicles, different aliens, different species mixing, different things going on. So I think that could be really interesting to watch and see. And again, I don't know, but I'm just getting the sense that this show's going to kind of lean into that and really drill into that. And maybe that might be one of the things that Leslie Headland, as a showrunner, who's got, by all accounts, a real hefty knowledge of Star Wars. You know, she's a big fan of Jason Fry's Essential Atlas. She knows the galaxy in that sense. Maybe that's where this show really shines.
We are now just counting down the days. We've got a double episode dropping first. The first series is, what, 8 episodes? June 4th. So that's a Tuesday. That is all the time we have. Mr. Newbold, can you tell people how they can get in touch with a listener's question or thought or theory?
If you want to be part of the action, visit fanthatrax.com or be sure to comment, like and share on our social media feeds at fanthatrax
Send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fanthatracks.com. Subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Temple for composing the Fanthatracks intro, Adam O'Brien for our Making Tracks opening music, and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Tune in to Good Morning Tatooine. It's live Sunday evenings, 9 o'clock UK, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And check out our Fanthatracks Radio Friday night rotation every Friday at 7 o'clock UK time for new episodes of The Phantom from Down Under, Planet Layer, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder, and special episodes of Making Tracks, and every Tuesday at 7 o'clock UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks. And remember, Fanthatracks.com, our social media feeds, Fanthatracks TV, and Fanthatracks Radio are absolutely free! So no Patreon, Buy Me A Coffee, Kickstarter or Indiegogo required to stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news.
And that's all for this mini reaction chat episode.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Till the next episode, stay safe, take care, and of course, may the Force be with you.
Coming up next on Fanthatracks Radio, it's Cannon Fodder.